Recently, I've been trying to catch up on my Christmas mail, or should I say my Christmas email. I still enjoy getting cards and letters, but I'd say probably 70% of my Christmas mail this year has come online, and I guess that's just the way it is. I heard a guy from Australia Post saying the other day that that personal mail, that is letters, you know, those things that have got a stamp on the top right-hand corner that you put in an envelope. Yeah, letters are just about, personal letters are just about dead. Yes, there'll still be the delivery of packages, particularly from online shopping, and also generic mail outs that come from different companies and things like that. But personal letters, the day of the personal letter is just about over. Anyway, that wasn't what I wanted to talk about this morning. In doing my Christmas mail, my Christmas email, I've been reminded of the value of personal friendships. People that I haven't seen in years, but I still enjoy hearing from them, even if it's just once a year. People that once upon a time I had a close connection to, haven't seen them for ages, yet after these years, it's lovely just to be able to reconnect with them and to remember again that the warmth of the friendship that once upon a time we used to enjoy. I guess receiving this mail has also made me sad at times as well too, especially when I found out that some of these friends have been going through difficult times and I didn't even know about it. I just found out about it now, in some cases nearly a year after the fact. I wasn't there to be able to help them. I didn't even pray for them. And it's made me feel sad that perhaps in some way, as a friend, I have failed in my duty to these people. Well, I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves from time to time is what sort of friend are we to other people? How are our friendships with others? Are we so busy in life these days that we don't even have the time to cultivate friendships? We live in a funny old world these days. In one sense, people have never been more connected to each other than they are today. We have smartphones, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, we have Facebook. We even have email for dinosaurs like me. But in spite of all these forms of media that we have available to us these days, there are actually more lonely people today than ever before. There are people today who are absolutely desperate for friends, for relationships, even online relationships. They're desperately trying to connect with somebody out there, even if it's on the other side of the world. I don't know, I'm not on Facebook and I'm certainly not on Twitter, all right, but there are people, you know, who have hundreds and hundreds of Facebook friends and perhaps thousands and thousands of Twitter followers, but they're still lonely. And somehow this world of virtual relationships doesn't seem to be satisfying people's craving for real friendships. That's what people really want. They want a real friendship. They want a friendship that's more than just words on a page or even a photo on a screen. They want somebody that they can connect with, they can have a real relationship with. And that raises the question, what does a real friendship actually look like? In the book of Proverbs, we find lots and lots of practical wisdom about all sorts of different topics. And if you've ever read the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, you'll find yourself chapter after chapter after chapter getting struck by verses which jump out of the page at you and force you to stop and to think. I know it jumps around all over the place and covers lots and lots of different areas, and they're not necessarily logically connected to each other. But if you read through the Proverbs carefully, you'll see there's an awful lot of information in this book about Proverbs. sorry, about relationships. Proverbs about relationships. It could be talking about marriage. It could be talking about the relationship between parents and their children. It could be talking about work. It could be talking about just friendships in general. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a smattering of verses that specifically focus on the topic of friendships. And we're going to build a bit of a profile about how we can be a good friend to somebody else. First of all, a good friend is close and personal. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 24. I think we've got them, yes, we've got them on the screen. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Realistically, it is impossible for us to have close friendships with lots and lots of different people. We don't have the time, we don't have the energy, we don't have the emotional energy that is necessary to invest in lots and lots of deep friendships. But the fact of the matter is that we need to have at least one or two or some people in our lives with whom we can have a close and personal friendship. Yes, it's good for us to be friendly people. It's good to be able to relate socially with lots of people. But if you try to socialise too much, what you're going to do is you're going to end up spreading yourself too thin, and you'll end up not having any close friends with whom you can have a real brotherly or sisterly relationship with. I've seen this happen when I lived at a university college many, many years ago. I spent 3 years on campus there, surrounded by lots of other guys there. And there were some there, some of these students, some of these other guys there, who were mixing socially with lots of people all the time. There's hardly a night of the week that they weren't out somehow being everybody's friend. But when they bombed out of their studies, they soon found out their so-called friends weren't anywhere to be seen. They'd spread themselves too thin. They didn't have any close and personal friends. A true friend is someone who is genuine, someone who really cares about you, someone with whom you can invest in a decent friendship, someone who will stick by you, someone who sticks, as the verse says here, closer than a brother or a sister. They may not be related to you by blood, but somehow or other there's a chemistry that joins you together that is real, it's deep, and it builds a strong bond with. You think of some of the biblical examples, you think of Jonathan, the son of David's enemy, Saul. Yet he and David were like brothers. There was a deep investment in this relationship between them. You think of Jesus and his relationship with his disciples, but especially with one particular disciple, and that was John. The disciple whom Jesus loved is referred to as. Who was there at the end when Jesus was on the cross? It was John. Is there somebody, maybe a couple of people in your life, who are friends like that to you? Someone who sticks closer to you than a brother or a sister. I wonder too whether there is somebody that you can be that kind of a friend to yourself. Someone that you will be there for when they need you. Someone who you can form a close relationship. You may not be related by blood, but in terms of the closeness of your relationship, there is something that's real and deep and personal between you. Secondly, a good friend is faithful. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It's easy to have friends in the good times, but real friends show their true colours when times are tough. When you're going through a bad time, they're the ones who are there to offer help. They're the ones who will listen to you and let you talk. They're the ones who'll give you good advice. They're the ones who'll check up on you and keep checking up on you. They're the ones who'll walk along beside you as you're going through the difficult time in your life. They're the ones who'll pray with you and who'll pray for you. They're the ones you can rely upon and depend upon, because they'll be there when you really need them. As we go through life, it's very important, I think, that we have at least someone like that who we can lean on in these times. And it's also important, again, that we commit ourselves to one or two other people that we can be a friend for in those times. Friendship's always, it's a two-way street. We need each other. You never know when the time might come that you're going to really need that person. I can't remember who it was who said, no man is an island, but we're not meant to be islands. We're meant to be in a network of relationships where we are connected to other people. Ruth was a friend like that to Naomi. And when Naomi lost her husband and her two sons and had to go from Moab back to Israel, who said, I'll be there with you, Naomi. I'll be with you. I'll look after you in your old age. I'll help you. That was Ruth. She was a true friend. And as we've already mentioned, Jonathan was the one who was there alongside David in his darkest hour. Jonathan even put his own life at risk in order to go and physically be there to encourage David when he needed him most. It's interesting, you know, these days when we've got phones and computers and Skype and all those sorts of things, that we have a great opportunity to be able to do that for people. But do we do it? That's the question. If you want to have a friend, you need to be a friend. As our verse says there in verse 17, a brother is born for adversity. Number three, a good friend is honest. Look at chapter 27, verse 6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Generally speaking, we don't like to be rebuked, do we? By nature, we are proud people. We like to hear words of approval. We like to be flattered. That's the way that we are wired. But there's a difference between the wounds of a friend on one hand and the kisses of an enemy on the other. And we have to decide which one we want to hear. Do we want to listen to the wounds of a friend, or do we want to experience the kisses of an enemy? If we're being foolish or sinful, if we're making wrong choices, whether we like it or not, what we need is a friend who in those times will be brave enough and honest enough with us to stare us down and to tell us the truth. That's what we need. That's a real friend. Someone who cares enough for us to tell us what we don't want to hear. Someone who will pull us into line. That's the kind of friend we need. We'd be foolish to reject a friend like that. Sometimes you meet people who are kind of like our personal cheer squad. They're always there to tell us how well we're doing. They're always blowing kisses of support and encouragement to us. They never give us any negative feedback. Be wary of those people. We need friends who can level with us. I know that there's a proper time and a place for encouragement. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have people who come and cheer us up at times, sometimes when we're feeling down, and give us a bit of a boost with some encouragement and that sort of thing. But if that's all they ever do, well then maybe they're not being the kind of friend to us that we really need. There's a time for a brotherly rebuke or a sisterly rebuke. And a true friend is brave enough to do that for us. And you know, if we're going to be a good friend to somebody else, we've got to be prepared to do the same for them. We've got to be prepared to even put our friendship on the line in order to give that friend of ours a word of warning. If you read the verse before verse 6, it says this: better is open rebuke than hidden love. There's not one of us here this morning who is perfect. And in fact, because we are sinners, we are all prone to stumble, to trip up, to fall at times. We all have more growing to do in Christ-likeness. And we shouldn't be too proud or even too timid to ask our friends to hold us accountable. We should be prepared to say to our friends, if you see an attitude creeping into my life which is wrong, please tell me. If you see behaviours coming into my life which are not godly, please tell me. If there are sins that you're seeing within me, please speak up and tell me. I want you to be that kind of a friend to me. Be honest with me. And I think this is one of the great reasons why it's important for us to be connected into the life of a church, where we do find ourselves surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ. And hopefully some of them will be honest enough to pull us into line, to journey with us in holiness as we grow more and more like Jesus. A good friend is honest. Number four, a good friend is sensitive. Proverbs 25, verse 20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. That's well put, isn't it? There's a big difference on the one hand between being honest and being blunt. A big difference. These days, we're hearing about a thing called emotional intelligence. I don't know whether you've come across this term before. But basically, what the learned experts are telling us is that having a high IQ is not necessarily the same as having a high EQ. What these experts have worked out is that if you're going to work successfully with other people and dealing with people, you have to be able to handle them sensitively. You have to have high emotional intelligence. Wonder of wonders. Well, the author of Proverbs worked this out something like 3,000 years ago, and that's what he's writing about here in this verse. If you're going to really be able to effectively help a friend who is going through a difficult time, you need to be sensitive to how that person is feeling when you come alongside him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it tells us that we are to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. There's a time for us to be serious and a time for us to let our hair down. There's a time for laughing and there's a time for crying. There's a time for every season under the sun. And we need to have the emotional intelligence or the sensitivity to be able to minister in a Christ-like way to that person as they're going through that difficult time. As a pastor, my emotional intelligence gets tested quite often. And many of you will have experienced that over the years in your relationship with me. There are times when we have to specifically try and place ourselves in the position of another person. Try and understand how they are feeling as they're going through a particular situation in their lives. And work out how we can best respond in a loving way to those people. But there's one other aspect to being a good friend. And that comes through in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. A good friend is Christ-like. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. What greater example of friendship could there be than Jesus himself? The one who gave his life for his friends. When all's said and done, the real test of friendship is not words, but it's actions. The ultimate test of love is how much of yourself you're actually prepared to give for the one that you love. That's the ultimate test of friendship. Not the nice words that you can speak, but how much of yourself you are prepared to give for the one you love. And by this test, Jesus was prepared to make the ultimate personal sacrifice in that he gave his life upon the cross. I know that it's impossible for us to take our human friendships to that extent. We can't die for the sins of other people. We can't die in that sense, take upon ourselves the punishment that another person deserves, but that's what Jesus did. Only Jesus is the sinless Son of God. Only Jesus is the second member of the Trinity. Only Jesus could actually do that, pay for our sins by his death upon the cross. But the example of Jesus actually poses this question: how far are we prepared to go to prove our friendship to someone else? Would we risk our lives? Would we go that far? I've got a cousin in Victoria whose husband lost two of his young adult daughters in the Black Saturday bushfires at Marysville in 2009. Those two girls died trying to save their horses. That's why they died. They went back to try and save their horses. And as I've thought about that, I wonder how many people died that day in those fires there trying to save their families or their friends. I guess there would have been some. What price do we put on our friendships? How far would we be prepared to go for another person that we loved? Jesus paid the ultimate price in order to save us from the judgment of God. I want to ask this morning the question: is Jesus your friend? Is Jesus your friend? It tells us in Matthew chapter 11 that Jesus came into the world to be the friend of sinners. The friend of sinners. There's something very profound about that. The one who loved us enough to die for us wants us to be his friend. And really, he's the perfect friend. He's the only perfect friend that we can have. And he promises never to let us down. Only Jesus perfectly fulfills those criteria that we've been talking about here this morning. And he wants to be our friend. Are you feeling lonely this morning? Are you struggling? Are you looking for somebody who will accept you just as you are? Who'll be there for you when you really need them? On the human level, friends will let you down. They might even be there for you. They might even know that you're going through a difficult time. You might be suffering in silence. But there is one who is the perfect friend, who knows exactly what's going on in our lives, who wants to be there for us, and that is the Lord Jesus. And he calls himself the friend of sinners. In other words, the friend of each one of us who is here this morning. That's who he is. You don't have to be good enough for Jesus. You don't have to pass some respectability test in order to become a friend of Jesus. You can't earn his love. None of us are good enough for that. All we can do, however, is confess that we are sinners. And we receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And we get invited into his circle of friends. And friends, you know, there's nothing more wonderful than to know that you have a friend in Jesus. Are you the friend of Jesus? Because you can be. And he's inviting us this morning, friends, to respond to his love, to accept the invitation that he's extending to us to belong to him. Can I just say this morning as we finish off that if there's somebody here this morning who has never come face to face with Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive them of their sin, to be their friend and their saviour, to be the Lord of their lives. But all you have to do is simply invite him today to come into your life and commit yourself to him today. It's a simple little step of faith. You pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm lonely. I need a friend. Please come in and be the ultimate friend, my life. And if we sincerely pray that prayer, I believe that today you will experience the joy of being able to know Jesus personally as your friend. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are a relational God. You created us, Lord, to live in a network of relationships. Created us to have friends and to be friends with other people. And Father, we pray this morning that you'd help us to be good friends with those that you bring into our lives. But most of all, Lord, this morning I want to thank you that you want to be our friend, that you go seeking us out, that you show yourself to be loving and compassionate and gracious. And Lord, you do that even for sinners. Lord, you're the best friend that we could ever have. And I just want to pray this morning that there might be somebody here who will come to know you personally today by faith. Experience the joy of being forgiven and loved and accepted by you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the friendship that he's offering to us today. Amen.